All right, so we're now going through the book, Nevertheless I Live. We're in chapter 7, which is 7 steps of a good man. And so I'm going to start on that tonight. And so we recognize that God's plan for us, and that's why it's part of the RU program, is that We're not setting our sights at just being sober, right? We're looking to go higher than that. We want to have complete freedom from our destructive habits and addictions. And that freedom comes through personal transformation. And that's kind of the thing. Sometimes we want to stop doing the destructive behavior, but we don't want to change who we are. And God recognizes, like, one, if we're going to get long-term relief, we have to change. And so we realize that that's a necessary part of the equation. And so in order for us to have lasting victory, of course, as we looked at, we need to learn to walk with God, because He's the one that can help us. He can give us the strength and the wisdom that we don't have to overcome our struggles and our addictions. And so walking with God, to walk is to take repeated steps. And so we thus need to identify that there are steps that God wants us to take in order to develop our personal walk with Him. And so we want to learn what those steps are. And so our talk tonight is going to serve as an introduction to the 7 steps that God directs us to take in our transformation process. And so for tonight, we're going to focus on this one passage here in Psalm 37. And I think this is a good verse if you want to meditate on it, maybe commit it to memory. It can kind of help us in different times that we struggle. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread." And so we're going to start out by doing what we do a lot of, and that's dissecting and defining that first verse of Psalm 37. And so it talks about the steps of a good man. And so steps we would recognize to be deliberate movements we take to proceed in a certain direction, right? That a person can fall a certain way, but when you're stepping, it's purposeful, right? You do it deliberately. And, of course, for us, we realize that we want to be taking steps in the right direction. And there are times where we have in the past taken deliberate steps in the wrong direction, and it's led to bad things, right? But we don't want to do that anymore. We want to be moving forward towards freedom. We don't want to be moving backwards into our addiction. So we want to take deliberate movements, take steps, and as we take these steps, our addiction and our past life gets further and further and further away. That is way in the rear view mirror. And so it says, steps of the good man. We want to understand that man here in the Hebrew, it's gender neutral. Like, you could actually say that it says the steps of a good human, right? And so it can speak of either a man or a woman. So you can read it, if you're a guy, the steps of a good man, or a Lord, you could just is correctly, as a woman, you can read the steps of a good woman, or word of the Lord. There's no difference that way. It applies to either gender. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And ordered has the idea of to be commanded, to be directed, to be managed. And so we want to understand that from that, there are certain steps God is directing us to take in life. And that's so that we can become the good man or the good woman that we want to be. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's almost like He lays them down in an order for for us to follow. He says, steps are going to be in order of the Lord, he delighteth in his way. And so delight means to take great pleasure in. And what did we learn over the last several weeks? It's the six procedures for pleasing God, that we want to do that. We tried to please ourselves, we tried to live to please others, and it always went bad, right? But instead, as we learn to please God, then God is pleased, but then we're blessed and others are blessed as well. And so, if he delights in our way, he's taking pleasure in our way. And pleasing God rather than ourselves or others, that benefits everyone the most. And it says he delighteth in his way. And way means a course of life. And so we can think of it in two different ways. The way can be the path that we choose to take in life, where we're walking and the direction we're going. But also we can think of the way, the manner in which we live our lives. Okay? And we delight, the Lord delights in his way. And we realize that there's a way God wants us to go, and then there's a way and a way God wants us to live, and there's a way that we tend to want to go, the way we tend to want to live. And I know there's fairly well-known song by Frank Sinatra where he said, "I did it my way." And we actually, when you think about that song, yeah, we do a lot of things our way, and usually it doesn't end up very good, right? And so we're wanting to learn, okay, I'm done doing it my way. I want to do it his way now. And so it's the thing is, God is laying out steps for us, and we want to go the way he is showing and the way he delights in. And so when we put it all together, we want to understand this. If we allow God to manage our direction through the influence of the Holy Spirit, then our course in life will bring great pleasure both to God and to us. And so that's as we put all the pieces together, that we can try to figure it out ourselves, we can try to go our own way, but instead, as we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, then our way is going to be a healthy way that's going to help us in life. Then the next few verses, too, I think are really valuable, and very glad that they're in the Bible. Steps of good manner, or the Lord, he delighteth in his way, but it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord holdeth him with his hand. And the blessing with that is that it can be encouragement to know that even good people fail. Because it's saying that a good man can fall, right? And sometimes we almost think, well, if they fall, then they're not a good man anymore. But that's not what it says, right? You can be a good man, good woman, and you can fall, right? So even good people fail. And yes, when we falter and fail, there are consequences to our failures. But those failures do not need to redefine us. Because it isn't like this, well, this person's a good man, but they made a mistake, they screwed up, so now they're not a good man anymore. And that's a lot of times what we think, is that because of one mistake that we make, we start to fail, that really that failure can often be a trigger to pull us way back into our addiction. Because it's almost like, I'm just a failure, I'm going to just... I might as well just give up and give in, because I'm not even going to be able to withstand this, right? Where no, it's just, it can be a little stumble. You don't have to just throw in the towel, right? And so we want to understand that just because we fail, it doesn't mean that that God is just going to throw us away or that we're no good. That we really want to understand that's not the way he works. His though he fall, shall not be utterly cast down. And why is that? It's because the Lord himself upholds that person with his hands. And so we see that God knows that there are times that we're going to fail, right? And we do understand that He allows us to face trials and challenges, but he never allows us to be tempted above what we're able. That it's actually, he doesn't set us up for failure, he sets us up for success. But he knows there's time where we're not going to be successful. That even though we could have been, we weren't focused, or we were distracted, or whatever happened, and we fail, right? But he doesn't abandon us when we fail. And we can be so thankful for that. And it's not where he's like there to condemn us and just read us the riot act every time we mess up. Instead, we want to understand that he gives us the help, support, and resources we need to get back up and to keep going. It talks about in Isaiah 41, he says, be not afraid, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that's what he does, is that he lifts us back up. He keeps us going so that the failure doesn't have to be game over for us. We don't have to slip all the way back into a terrible relapse, that we can make that necessary correction and then move forward again. It says, Romans 14 verse 4, it says of a person maybe struggling, he says, to his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And that's the thing, is that if we're relying on our own strength, we're going to falter and fail, but when we learn to rely on God's strength, he is able to make us stand. And that's really developing that idea. It talks about another place in Proverbs that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And it's the thing is that if you stay down, then yes, you're going to be defined by your failure. But if you rise up again, you can still have victory. And that's what we have to really learn, is that we're only defeated if we stay down. And so if we get back up, then we can move forward, we can eventually have victory. And so he's trying to help us to do that. He's trying to say, I want to uphold you so you don't fall, you don't collapse, you don't throw in the towel. That instead you learn, you get back up right away, and you keep going. And we think of that other verse there too, where it talks about, I've been young, now I'm old, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. That it isn't where, it's a lot of times we have that mindset, well, I've done something and God's just going to basically almost kick me out of his family and just leave, like throw me to the wolves and allow me to be destroyed for what I've done. And really, we want to understand that's not who God is. That he doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us and abandon us. So often, he gives us provision far beyond what we would expect. And so when we put all these thoughts together, we want to realize that we often struggle to keep going in the right direction. That's always what happens. It's the thing where we take one step forward and two steps back, right? That we start to make progress, and then a lot of times we kind of stall a bit, then we don't know where to go next, and then we end up easy to slide back into different habits. And so we want to recognize that God helps us, that he gives us the guidance that we need. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And we realize that we don't have it a lot of times to know what decisions to make. And thankfully, God is able to help us direct our steps. Proverbs chapter 4 Verses 10 to 12, it says, "Hear, O my son, receive my sayings. The years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." This verse is actually one looked at devotions about a week or so ago. And the word straightened, it isn't the idea of being made less crooked. It's the idea when you think of like a straight in terms of when you're on a big body of water, right, where you have a narrow spot is called a straight, right, and it's spelt that way. So the idea that when, what does it say there, when thou goest thy steps shall not be straightened, it's that it isn't like you're suddenly in this narrow spot where everything's difficult, right? It's saying that no, you actually have a broad path. Kind of the idea would be like you see sometimes like where somebody's going around a mountain and suddenly like the trail gets narrower, instead of like having a lot of room to walk, you're basically like clinging to the cliff trying to prevent from. And so it's kind of, that's what the picture is that God's, if we're following God's way, we're not going to get to this narrow path where we're almost sure to face destruction. Instead, it's going to be a safe place to walk that we can get through and we won't stumble. And so that's what he wants to do. He wants to direct our paths so that we get to those, so we have a sure footing in life, so we're not slipping and sliding and getting into danger. And of course, our tendency to rely on our own wisdom to direct our paths has not worked out well for us. I think all of us can think of that, where we get into a situation and it's kind of, I think we can always, looking back on it, or excuse me, people, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but then it was like, boy, this was a mistake. And so we see Proverbs 16, verse 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And that's the thing. We have our way we think is going to be good, but the Lord's trying to direct us and trying to keep us out of a lot of trouble. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's a lot of times, at the start, we think, oh yeah, this makes perfect sense. And then it's like, oh my goodness, what a mistake we've made. Proverbs 19, verse 3, it says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." And that's the thing, is a lot of times we get distracted or we're focused on something that is not even important. And that's what kind of gets us off on the wrong path. And so it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And so it's the thing is that if we're leaning on our understanding, I don't know if any of you ever had that experience where you go to lean on something thinking that it's sturdy and it's going to support you, and then all of a sudden it gives way and you're down on the ground, right? And that's how it is where we lean on our own understanding, where we think, oh yeah, this will make sense, and then all of a sudden we're just on the ground and we're embarrassed and hurting and everything else. And so that's the thing, is God says, no, trust in me, and that's not going to happen. I'm going to direct your paths and so that you'll go in the right way in life. And so as well, we realize that to make it as straightforward as possible, Jesus provided us with an example to follow. And we see that it talks about in 2 Peter chapter 2, speaking of Christ, he's given us an example that we should follow in his steps. And that's a lot of times, we can be so thankful for that, is just Lord has laid out so much stuff for us. I know... like we've looked at it a bit, we just think even the different verses that talk about Jesus' adolescence, that just there's only a few verses, but we see one where it talks about him being subject to his parents, and that's a big thing when you're a teenager, is learning to have that good relationship where you're respecting authority. But then it says that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, and so you really see that as a teenager, that it's like, I need to grow physically, but I also need to grow mentally, I need to grow socially, I need to grow spiritually. And so we see that as Jesus, in so many different ways, that as you study Jesus' life, you can ask yourself, okay, what did Jesus do in this situation? And that's a pattern for me to follow. And so that's the thing. He wants us to get on the right path in life. And he's not playing games and trying to conceal it from us, right? He wants to make it plain. And so a lot of times it's us learning to listen and see what he has to show us. So it's the thought, is that we want to be good men or good women, right? And we're not going to become good in our own strength and wisdom, right? We're going to continue to struggle, continue to be overcome by different destructive habits. But instead, if we implement the steps God lays out to us in his word, then that gives the Holy Spirit free rein to lead, guide, and direct us. And it puts us in a place where God can work in us, God can do his transforming work to change us. And so that's the thing, is that as he works in us, then we can become good by his strength and wisdom working within us. It isn't us where we're trying to reform ourselves and reinvent ourselves. Instead, it's him working in us and making us new. And so, seeing God knows that our transformation is going to be a process. It's not just going to be instantaneous. He knows there's going to be bumps along the way. That sometimes we get it, and then other times we just don't get it. And he has to let us go through, learn some things the hard way. But we want to understand with God that he is committed to seeing us through and helping us achieve lasting freedom and victory. That he doesn't abandon the process just because we're not getting with the program, right? That he sticks with us. And sometimes when we're ready to give up, he's continuing on. We see this verse in Philippians 1 verse 6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's kind of the thing, is that when he worked in us to bring us unto himself, where we trust him as Savior, that was a great work, but really that's where his work just got started, right? He's working in us, he's trying to help us become Christ-like, help us to be able to live in freedom and victory. And so it's something to be really thankful for, is that God is committed to us much more than we are committed to him in many times, right? That he's going to work with us, and even when other people might be impatient with us and give up on us, God doesn't. And he's still there behind the scenes trying to help us. So we'll continue on next week, and we'll start to go through some of these different steps that God calls us to take. All right, so any thoughts or questions as we conclude? Mm-hmm.